Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand show number 151 coming to you from the Pinery Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling here on a, I guess yesterday was pretty chilly. It's not terrible out there today. Feels like a decent fall day. Yesterday we got a little bit of a taste of full-fledged winter, but back to decent temperatures today as we get ready for another week of exciting action here on Better's Last Stand. I will say this, though. This week underwhelms a little bit. You don't have any racing. You don't have any Premier League or the English leagues playing because you're on another international break in soccer. Football games are just okay. I got to say, this is a little bit of an underwhelming week, but we will push on. Last week, not so good for us, and it was underwhelming from a win standpoint. That is for sure. Down about a unit and a half, negative 1.45 to be exact. It was not pretty, that's for sure. We had some good opinions, but we also had some bad ones and some ones that that were probably the right side, but just didn't work out, which you'll have every week. Still trying to put together one home run type week, but that's okay because we're doing pretty well in college basketball. I wish I could share the rewards with the show listeners a little bit more, but it's hard to do because it's a daily basis thing, and it is a little bit tricky to get the stuff out there and get it early enough where you can play the numbers where they're actually playable. And we have been doing good there, though, but not so good in football. 9-9 in college football last week, 110, 105, and 4 in the season, almost exactly 50%, a little bit over 50.00, whatever. NFL 6-9, 67, 68, and 1. We're now down to 49% there. 8-5-1 in soccer, and it wasn't even a good week for us, but we did come out ahead. 79, 53, and 14 since middle of September. That's 54%. So holding our own there as far as the soccer goes. But again, international break this week. Really been tough to get some momentum here going with soccer because we have too many breaks. We're the Champions League. We're breaking every couple weeks like normal. But the domestic leagues were breaking too often. These every 2 week breaks in the domestic leagues are just not common, only in the World Cup type years. And we're down to the finals, getting down to the final game or two, match or two in the World Cup qualifying groups. I got a couple of picks for the weekend on that we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. NHL wise, been an interesting NHL season so far. You're starting to see some of the teams start to separate a little bit and see who's a kind of a contender in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. A lot of the teams we were on, like I said last week, doing pretty well so far. So we're off to a pretty decent start there. We'll keep monitoring those. As far as the first periods go and second periods and third periods, there's still plenty of value to be had out here. I mean, there are some really, really strong trends here. I'm going to give you some of those right now. So teams to be looking for from an over in the first period. It's usually a posted total of 1.5 goals. These are the teams to look out for. The Anaheim Ducks, 11-4. The Vegas Golden Knights are 10-4. The Ottawa Senators are 11-5. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are 11-5. Those are your teams to be watching out for first period overs thus far this year. First period unders, the Florida Panthers, 11-4. Two-time Stanley Cup, defending Stanley Cup champions. They're locking it down. They're without some of their major offensive weapons, and they are playing really, really well. So I think that you will see that continue. They're playing good defensive hockey, I should say, just a little bit different style. Washington, 10-5, first period overs for them. Second period over, Toronto 13-3, Edmonton 13-3, Anaheim 12-3, and Vancouver 13-4. Those are second period over total. Sometimes you'll see in the second periods, though, they will be posted at a 2, so watch out for those, but you do get plus money on them. The longer change in the second period can lead to some additional goals as it's further from your bench, so it can be a little bit tougher to defend if you get caught in transition. Second period unders, again, the New York Rangers, they're 13-3, although they weren't in the first period unders, but they're a lower scoring team for whatever reason. They have not been good at home, and 13-3 to the under in the second period. Third period over, numbers, Detroit Red Wings 13-3 to the over, Toronto 12-4 to the over, and the Ottawa Senators 12-4 to the over. Goal in the first 10 minute teams, the Anaheim Ducks. Obviously, it goes hand in hand. You get a goal in the first 10 minutes, and likely your first period overs are where you're going to be looking. 12-3 on Anaheim to the goal in the first 10. That's a yes goal in the first 10, and they're 11-4 to the over in the first period. VGK 11-4, and the Ottawa Senators are 12-4. those are some things that you want to keep an eye on as far as the NHL goes. You got the Penguins going to Europe to play in Sweden for a couple games against the Predators. So be aware of them when they come back off their trip. Sometimes that can really kill momentum, so maybe some unders. You also have the long road trips, 3 and 4 game road trips where a team's gone for 9-10 days and they come back home. Usually a pretty good fade spot if the other factors set up, so keep an eye on that. You had, I think Utah is one of those tonight in the NHL. So, yeah, keep an eye on those types of trends early on. We'll recap our NHL season-long bets here probably in a few weeks after the holidays, see how we are shaping up once we turn for the first of the year. Flip it over to racing. It is kind of quiet and down right now. You got no IndyCar. You got no NASCAR, but you do still have F1. We are off this week in F1. Last week, it was Lando Norris winning in Brazil. He got it done. He held off Kimi Antonelli, who started second, finished second. Max Verstappen climbed all the way up to third, and George Russell was fourth. Oscar Piastri was fifth. So now in the points chase, you have the Norris at 390, Piastri at 366, and Max Verstappen at 341. We got Vegas next week. We got Qatar, and we got Abu Dhabi. So three races left. Piastri probably has a shot still. Verstappen's probably going to have to win two out of the three races. If Piastri can win one and out finish Norris in the other two, he has a shot. Maybe that requires a win. But Lando Norris, I will say, I did not think he had it in him to persevere like this, but he has been pretty good. Mercedes, double top four for them last week. So if you even forget about the double top six, they almost took down a double podium. Early numbers at Vegas for next week, it'll be Max Verstappen plus 175, Lando at plus 185, and Piastri at plus 550. George Russell also plus 550, but that's way too short of a price. Kimi Antonelli, he had a great run, but can he keep it up? He's 12-1. Charles Leclerc 20-1. Lewis Hamilton 28-1. Those are the guys that actually have any chance of winning. Mercedes minus 175 to win it. That's without McLaren. Sorry, plus $3 on Red Bull, plus 325 on Ferrari. I don't think Ferrari's a bad price. Plus 325 outside of the McLarens, they could outfinish Red Bull and Mercedes should they qualify well. Lando Norris to win the championship, he's now minus $8. Piastri 6-1 and Verstappen at 12-1. We'll talk more about F1 next week here on the show as we preview the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Assuming we have a show next week, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be coming back midweek, so I'm hoping to have a show. I think I should still be able to squeeze it in, but we will plan accordingly. And again, BLS_PRP is where you want to be. I'll have all the picks regardless of where I am on the globe. I will have those picks for you. College basketball, been really good to us. The line movements, the early lines in the day, if you're finding these price moves, they are really, really sharp right now. They're good moves. The betting public, not necessarily the public, but the professionals who are hitting these early in the day, they are on the right side of most of these. I mean, I got to say, we're probably almost 80% so far in college hoops. So keep tracking those numbers, looking for the early moves. I mean, I wouldn't recommend laying teams that are laying, you know, up over 30 points in a game. But if you can find teams that are moving 4, 5, 6 points to the good, and you could still get, a relatively decent price of 3 or 4 baskets to cover, I would still take a shot with it. And then the underdog side of things, if you see teams opening to plus 10 and it's down to, you know, 5 or 6, those teams have had the ability to win the game outright a few times too for us. So keep an eye on those. You're going to want to watch those. Same with the totals. I mean, you have total moves every single night of 10, 11 points on some of these games. We got IU Indy still in action. Don't forget about them. They're going to be an over team. WVU is going to be an under team. That is very, very obvious. If you get IU Indy games posted in the 170s, you got to almost play it over. Anything lower than 180, it's got to be an auto play. If you start getting up, they were a little high though this weekend, and it actually pushed if you got the number late. I think on Saturday's game, they were a tad high. They bumped that thing up all the way into the 190s, mid-190s, and it was almost a little bit too high. I actually went in and played it under in play and actually got both sides. I had push on one and the under on the other. I think it hit 192. I think I had under 196. So keep an eye on those, especially if they jump out fast. IU Indy coach Ben Allett, former West Liberty guy, longtime coach there, longtime player there at West Liberty. So, yeah, Ben running it up and down there, and Indy got their first win the other day. So keep an eye out for them, especially if they jump out quick. Sometimes these games, or if they jump out slow, then maybe you come back the other way. But very good in-play team so far from IU Indy. As you saw, a couple of games they had really, really fast starts, and then the game slowed down. It was into the 200s. You could have been under, hit both sides. You could have played it over and then under, and then you could play unders and overs. So play it under for the game, and then it starts out a little bit weak, and then they put up some points in the second half, and it gets it over. They scored it in the 70s, I think, the other day in against the NAIA team or something like that. So anyway, keep an eye out on IU, Indy, and WVU, especially with the contrast in style overs versus unders. All right, NBA teams. We don't talk a lot of NBA teams here, but we will talk about these teams, the bad teams, the covers, the teams that can't cover. Clippers, 1-9 against the spread. The Washington Wizards, 2-9 against the spread. The Memphis Grizzlies are 3-8 against the spread. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 3-8 against the spread. And the Brooklyn Nets, 3-6-1 ATS. So those are some of your teams that are not so good in the land of the NBA. Bad beats from last week. If you had the Giants money line, you got to be sick. But that's not the first time. It wasn't as sick as the Denver loss by any means. You could see it kind of unraveling. Brian Daboll's been let go. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we've said that all last year. We said it this year. This guy is a bozo. He might be a decent offensive play caller, but he is not a head coach. And finally, the Giants did something useful. I'm not sure why the GM stuck around, but I will say I do have one theory on that I haven't heard anybody else bring up, but I think it seems like the only obvious theory is they like the way this guy drafts. I mean, he did get him Jackson Dart, he did get him Malik Nabers, and he did get him Cam Scataboo, so that's a really good offensive nucleus. And yeah, I mean, Dart, obviously, pretty high pick, but the other guys, I mean, Nabers, decently high. Scataboo, kind of under the radar. I mean, not totally under the radar, but people knew about him. But picking him and how it worked out, this seems like the Giants are developing the players a little bit too. So I don't think maybe he's a lost cause in that regard. So maybe they like him for the draft. Maybe they're going to let him draft again, say, all right, we'll let him keep going here, see if we can get a couple other good players, and then we'll let him go after that. But I think that as far as identifying the coach is going to be key here for the GM. If he can get the right guy in here, they may have a shot of being decent, but we'll see. Atlanta, they came apart. Jacksonville, complete catastrophe. They blew it. Cleveland, another awful, awful performance. And talk about coaches that need to be canned. We are the home of the Cleveland Browns here on the Watchdog Network. We talked to our friend Kelsey Russo, the associate editor and staff writer for the Cleveland Browns. And we didn't have her on this week because she had an event to deal with, and she probably was happy because she didn't have to talk about the Browns, because last week was an abomination. It was a disgrace. And I would say, in my opinion, I said earlier this year that I would have fired Brian Daboll after the game against Denver, even if he would have ended up winning the game. Well, I would have fired Kevin Stefanski the other day, regardless if he won that game against the Jets or not, after the game. The kick return fiasco, you give up a punt return and a kickoff return. The special teams have been humiliating all season long. Those are direct reflections on the coach and the preparation of the team. There's no other way to put it. I've been close to football programs for a lot of my life, and I'm telling you, when you have breakdowns in the special teams, it's a sign that the head coach doesn't care about those areas, and he doesn't care about winning, and that is what's going on right there. Pathetic performance. And then some of the other things, the penalties, the jumping off sides on fourth and inches, the holding on a play where the Jets weren't even going to try to advance the ball. They were just trying to run the clock out. It's inexcusable. It shows your team is not prepared to play. It's not the first time. The Browns really could be over 500 this year. They really, truly could. They let the game against Cincinnati go. They let the game against Minnesota go. There's another game or two that don't come to mind. I'd try to block them out. But terrible performance by Kevin Stefanski, and he should be facing some serious, serious heat in the coming days. Penn State money line, the incredible catch by the kid from Indiana, one of the best catches you'll ever see. How he was able to do that at the speed he was going, I have no idea, but it buried Penn State. Oh, what a shame. Purdue scores with just over a minute to cover against Ohio State. They're plus 30, and they got inside that number there. So if you had Ohio State, you were laying in those mid to high 20s where it went off at. You're probably kind of sick. Purdue waits till the very end to score. William and Mary, Campbell under 56.5. This was an interesting one. 24-13 Campbell with less than 3 minutes to go in the game. The Tribe ends up tying the game at 24 all. They scored a touchdown, got an onside kick, scored another touchdown, got a two-pointer, got a field goal, all that in there. In the last couple of minutes of the game, William and Mary ends up winning the game in overtime, 30-27. So a really, really tough one there. Indictments. Luis Ortiz, Emmanuel Clase from the Cleveland Indians. They have been indicted in baseball. The sports betting scandal that we talked about over the really the last year, but then with the really a lot of information starting to come out about it. Charges included wire fraud, conspiracy, money laundering, conspiracy to influence sports betting via bribery. Those are among the counts these guys are facing, and there is some overwhelming evidence. I heard Ortiz's attorney saying that the case was really weak. Well, if it's weak, then you must be counting on this, some of this stuff being fabricated, or you're being able to explain away why Emmanuel Clase had guys who were involved in this scandal at the games with him as his guests. God, these are the guys who are betting on these apps, knowing what's going to happen. They're in the stands with these guys. They have a personal connection. This isn't like, there's a courier involved. Okay, here, I'm going to give it to this guy on the street, or the guy that I know, say a guy that's the runner in the clubhouse. He's going to go tell somebody, okay, the first pitch is going to be a ball. Here's what we're going to do here. The first pitch is going to be an off-speed pitch. Here's what we're going to do. And he's going and giving it to somebody, and the players have no tie to the actual person making the wagers. Well, in this case, these guys are directly connected to the people who are defrauding these sports books and really defrauding all of us, because if you're on the other side of that, you're getting cheated too. Ridiculous. Clase, I just can't believe it. This guy's one of the most coveted relievers in big league baseball. Now, he had fallen off a little bit. Maybe it's because of some of this, but he had guys at the game. He was on his phone before he went into the game communicating with these bettors. Absolutely unbelievable. It really is mind-blowing that a person could be this stupid. And due to this and some other things that are going on in the sports betting world, MLB and most of the sports books, I think they've pretty much all agreed here in North America that they will have a universal limit of $200 on prop bets such as these going forward. You know, your velocity, your type of pitch, your location of the first pitch and stuff like that. Should have probably been like this to begin with. And if you were getting burned by these as a book, you weren't doing your homework and paying attention, because it just shouldn't happen. If something like this happens, it's an immediate red flag for anybody on a sports betting staff. But really dirty stuff there. And these guys, you know, they're going to pay the ultimate price. Clase especially. I mean, he had big, big money coming his way. He had one more year left on a contract. Probably would have got moved at next year's deadline if Cleveland was out of it. Disappointment for everybody involved there. As we wait for the NCAA basketball scandal to break, you had some interesting news coming out on that. Alabama A&M and Mississippi Valley State game from last year drew 3.6 times the normal amount of a SWAC game. So right there, you're going to say, oh boy, what do we got? Oh, we usually take $5,000 total on a SWAC game. That's a large number, but we'll say for a bigger book. But hey, you know what? This time we're almost at $30,000, or we're at $40,000 on a SWAC game, and it's the first half number. And it's like, oh boy, immediate flashers going up. Guess what I'm doing? We're letting lottery know. We're letting the authorities know, hey, look into this integrity. Check this out. Something doesn't sit right here. Sure enough, some of the books might have took them a while, but they eventually caught on and got that figured out, and I'm curious to see what's going to happen here with this NCAA stuff. You still got the NBA thing going on. You got MLB. This college basketball thing's going to break. You got a lot of things right here, but again, I can't stress this enough. This is what regulated sports betting does. It will weed out the bad seeds, and that is good. That's what we need to do. We need to not indict everybody. We need to accuse and take to task the bad actors. They will be accused. They will be convicted. They will be tried, convicted by a jury of their peers, however you want to look at it. They're going to have a shot to defend themselves, but if they can't, then they're out. They're expelled. It's basically the death penalty. You do not gamble ever again. You do not participate in any sports ever again. And that's going to be pretty harsh for some of these guys. So we'll see what happens here. And as sports betting continues to get more popular, I mean, it's everywhere. It saturates the world. It's all over. It's all over your radio. It's all over your TV. Everybody's telling you how easy it is to win. But you got to remember something. You are not going to get an edge unless it's something illegal. The only way you can get an edge that's a guarantee is to do something pretty much illegal. And you don't want to do that. You can find enough edges out there with data, with information, with trends, with spot handicapping, all that kind of stuff you can do to give yourself a chance to be ahead and in the right way and not get blackballed from something that you enjoy doing. All right, let's go through the ticket counts from college football last week. Week 11 results here, 94% on Vanderbilt minus 6.5 against Auburn. That one does get there. 91% on San Jose State minus 5.5 against Air Force. Lost outright in that game. 85% on Oregon minus 6 against Iowa. Lost. 80% on Ohio State against Purdue minus 30. Lost with the backdoor cover from Purdue. 80% on Memphis minus 4.5 versus Tulane. Lost outright. We did have Tulane in that game. 80% on BYU plus 10.5 against Texas Tech. Told you to watch out for that one. That was a number that the public was all over. Like, how in the world could BYU be catching 10? We're all over BYU. And it was a landslide, easy victory for Texas Tech. 75% on WVU plus 6 or minus 6.5 against Colorado. That one got there. Wasn't easy towards the second half or at the end of the second half, but it turned out okay. Highest ticket counts for this week as of midweek. 93% on Tennessee minus 40 against New Mexico State. 92% on UTSA minus 18.5 against Charlotte. 87% on Utah minus 8.5 against Baylor. That's at Baylor. I'd be a little concerned about that one. 87% on LSU minus 5.5 against Arkansas at home. 86% against ECU, or against 86% on ECU minus 3 against Memphis. Memphis coming off a loss. I'd be worried about that one. 84% on Virginia Tech plus 14 at Florida State. Lopsided tickets in the NFL last week. 95% of tickets on Seattle. We were not one of those. I would be 100% honest, as we always are in the show, transparent. When I have a bad opinion, I will say I did. I had a terrible opinion of the Arizona Cardinals last week. I really thought they would be live in that game. I thought they would be pesky to play against, and they got absolutely murdered. If you had favorite and over in those late games, you had a great, great afternoon, as they were, you know, 60-point games that were 25-point differences from the favorite to the dog. I mean, you just had absolute beatings there. So, and that was one we were on the wrong side of. So, nice winner for Seattle. 90% on Detroit minus 8.5 against Washington. Another game in that late hour. Bam, they did. We told you how bad Washington was defensively. Easy winner. 85% on Buffalo, though, at Miami. 9.5 was the number. Lost outright. 75% on Philadelphia. Plus 2.5 against Green Bay. We were on that one. Didn't understand that one. Green Bay, I will say this, and I'll keep saying it when we go through the numbers this week, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Green Bay's power rating has been wrong all season. And if you continue to bet Green Bay, you're not paying attention. You are not paying attention. Their numbers are ridiculously wrong. They're wrong every week. I don't care if they cover the spread or not, or if they win the game or not. Their numbers are wrong. They're being power rated like they are a NFC contender when they absolutely are not. I think Monday night maybe start to get people to realize that we've been right all along on them here on Bettors Last Stand. 74% on Pittsburgh, plus 3 against the Chargers. Absolutely manhandled by an undermanned Charger team with the 36th rated offensive line out of only 32 teams. So, yeah, it was really ugly. The Steelers looked terrible, and this is what they do. Up and down and up and down and up and down. I expect them to kill the Bengals this week, but we'll see. Lopsided tickets for this week in the NFL. Week number 11, 82% on Kansas City, minus 4 against Denver. That worries me. That's at Denver. I like the Chiefs, but, man, too many people on them. 80% on, here we go, Green Bay lands 7 again. How can Green Bay continue to lay these numbers? I know it's not going to be Jackson Dart. If it's not going to be him, they said they're going to play Winston. So they're actually going to have a chance of scoring some points. The Giants have to be an auto play at plus 7. They have to be. You cannot keep betting Green Bay minus these big numbers. They cannot win. 79% Houston minus 7 against Tennessee. This is at Tennessee. Tricky game, division game. 75% on Miami minus 3 against Washington. This one in Madrid. Again, you saw Miami play well last week. Will they play good again? Washington looks down and dead, but I wouldn't be surprised if Washington is pesky in that game. 73% on Minnesota minus 3 against Chicago. NFL favorites down 99-45 and one straight up 78-68 ATS. Overs 78-69 and 2, that is, to the over. Colts over 7.5. They are the first team to cash their NFL season win total bets this year. The Lions 13-0 straight up in ATS in the last 13 after a loss. Credit to Dan Campbell. He doesn't lose a whole lot. When he does, he rallies his team back. Drake May now the favorite to win the MVP, plus 275 at numerous sports books across the world and the country. College football ATS teams, Ohio State with that backdoor cover, now 7-1-1. Texas Tech moves up to 9-1 ATS. Best and worst NFL ATS teams. Actually, I just have the best on here. I don't have the worst, which you can probably fill in the blank on the worst. Tennessee, it's got to be up there. Cleveland, the Jets. Oh, boy. Let's see. The best ATS teams, you have the Rams and the Seahawks, both 7-2. The 7-3 teams, New England, Philadelphia, Detroit, Indianapolis, and Carolina. Okay. Bettors Last Dance, show number 151 here on a Football Friday on the Watchdog Network, presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club, getting you ready for high school football action tonight. We'll have the pregame show after us. Then it'll be Wheeling Park hosting number 11. That's number 6 Wheeling Park in Quad A, West Virginia, hosting number 11 Woodrow Wilson, coming up from Beckley. Then tomorrow, stream only, it will be number 1 Wheeling Central in Single A, West Virginia, against Tulsa, who comes up, makes the Northern Trek, and they will be significant underdogs against Wheeling Central over at Bishop Schmidt Field. You can hear both those games right here on the Watchdog Network. Of course, WVU in football action, and you have Cleveland, the Brownies, back in action against the Ravens on Sunday. So the Watchdog, your home for all of the excitement here on, I guess you're on the first week of West Virginia playoffs, on the third week of Ohio playoffs. We'll keep you apprised of all that stuff coming up here in the pregame show and the halftime show here on the Watchdog Network. All right, let's talk a little bit about what we got going on as far as, I didn't grade these out, but here are the results so far in our college football futures. Here's how we've done so far. We got Miami under 10 wins. They're 7-2 right now, and they have 3 games left. Can they get over it? I don't know. I hope I'm wrong on that, and they can, but who knows. Clemson, we do have a winner with them. We were under 10.5 on Clemson. We can cash that one. Duke over 6.5. They're 5-4 with 3 games left. Pitt over 6.5. Cash that one as a winner. They have 7 wins already. Let's see. Oh, BC. Yeah, BC. BC not so good. We had them over 5.5. That is a loss there. Now 1-9. Pitt 15-1 to make the ACC title game, along with Duke 9-1. Both those still alive. Baylor to win the Big 12. Terrible bet. Utah to win the Big 12. Still alive. Plus 650. Baylor over 7.5 wins. Loss. Utah over 7.5 wins. They have 7 with 3 games left, so we should get that one. Kansas under 7.5 wins. That is a winner. They have 5 wins. BYU under 6.5 wins. That is a loss. They have 8 wins. WVU under 5.5. Now we got to sweat a little bit on this one. I don't think we're going to have to worry, but they are at 4-6 with 2 games left. Alabama over 9.5. They got 8. They're 8-1 right now, and they have 3 games left, so we probably will be all right there. Alabama 4-1 to win the SEC championship, so that one's still alive. Tennessee under 8.5. They got 6 with 3 left. I think we got a shot there. South Carolina under 7.5. They are 3-6. We can cash that one as a winner. Missouri, our best bet in the SEC. They have 6.5 wins. They don't have 6.5. It's hard to get a half a win. We have over 6.5 wins. They have 6 wins right now with 3 games left. Oklahoma over 6.5. They are at 7-2. That is a winner. Vanderbilt over 5.5. They have 8 wins. That is a winner. Penn State, we had the quad box of losers with Penn State for the conference, the playoff, the championship, all that stuff. Penn State loss. Terrible performance there out of them. Oregon under 10.5. They have 8 wins with 3 games left. Illinois under 8.5. They got 6 wins with 3 games left. Iowa under 7.5. They have 6 wins with 3 games left. Minnesota over 6.5 wins. They have 6 wins with 3 games left. UCLA over 5.5. They have 3 wins with 3 games left. In Maryland over 4.5. They have 5 with, or I'm sorry, they have 4 wins with 3 games left. So there's where we stand with our football futures. Not too bad. Have some winners in there. We'll total them all up at the end of the year. I don't want to grade because then I'll forget what I graded and what I didn't grade and so forth. All right, let's talk a little bit of soccer, and then we'll dive into college football, talk about the playoff and some other things going on. Nothing really to report on the domestic front here or the Champions League. Those will be back going next week. 79-53-14 since mid-September, 54%. EPL, we were 8-5-1 last week. Of course, we're on the international break. You're down to your last few games, matches to qualify for the World Cup. And there's a couple teams that need the win. Kosovo, one of those. I like Kosovo to win or draw against Slovenia at plus 130 tomorrow afternoon. That is Saturday afternoon. Again, Kosovo plus 130 against Slovenia to win or draw in that match. Greece and Scotland, both teams to score minus 130. I think they will both be content probably for a 1-1 type draw, both still in a position where they can advance to either the playoff or directly into the World Cup. And then a parlay, we don't give out too many of them here, but we're going to give out one based on these. There was no other way that I could really play these matches. The price is just too much. But so a plus 180 parlay you can get here. Wales and Liechtenstein over 2.5 goals. Turkey and Bulgaria over 2.5 goals, and Bosnia and Romania under 3 goals. Again, Wales and Liechtenstein over, Turkey and Bulgaria over 2.5, those both 2.5, and Bosnia, Romania under 3. Those are our plays, along with Greece and Scotland, both teams to score, and Kosovo win or draw at plus 130 against Slovenia. You can find those at BLS_PRP. You can re-listen to the show anywhere you find your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon. You can follow us on at the Pine Room Studios. You can go to pineroomstudios.com. You can find Pine Room Studios on YouTube, all places you can find Bettors Last Stand. So hopefully you enjoy the soccer this weekend. Those are some games for Saturday's World Cup qualifying group stage. Okay, time for some college football talk here on Bettors Last Stand. Show number 151 coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting ready for high school football. Tonight, Wheeling Park hosts Beckley Woodrow Wilson. Tomorrow, it'll be Wheeling Central hosting Tulsa. All right. Let's get into it. The playoff standings came out last night, the second ranking of the committee for the college football playoff. And, you know, like I said last week, there's really not that many good teams, so I don't really know why they just don't have six. I could say Ohio State, Indiana, A&M to this point, Alabama, Georgia, Texas Tech. I guess you could say Ole Miss maybe right on the cusp there with the loss to Georgia. They led a lot of that game. Oregon, I don't know about. Notre Dame's got 2 losses. Texas, 2 losses. Oklahoma, 2 losses. BYU showed that they're just not that great. Utah, Vanderbilt, Miami down at 15. So several things creep into your mind here when you're looking this stuff over is, obviously head-to-head mattered in some of these games, but it doesn't matter in all of them because Alabama's ahead of Georgia. You have Texas ahead of Oklahoma based on head-to-head. But all of a sudden, when it comes to head-to-head with Miami and Notre Dame, both with 2 losses, somehow the head-to-head doesn't matter. And I am by no means, knowing full transparency that I am a Miami Hurricanes fan, Miami is not very good. They're just okay. Obviously, I bet them under their win total at the beginning of the year. Obviously, I did not trust this team. I mean, they have a loss at SMU by 6 points. They have a home loss against Louisville by 3 points. Louisville is still rated in this playoff. SMU's not awful. They do have wins over Florida State, Florida, and South Florida, all of which have beaten other teams. Florida State has beaten Alabama. Florida beat Texas. South Florida, I believe, beat Florida, if I'm not mistaken by that. So I don't really understand how they're behind Notre Dame with some of the wins that they do have, because the teams that they've beaten are pretty decent for the most part. The 2 losses are inexcusable. I mean, Beck throws 4 picks against Louisville. Terrible job against SMU when they can't close the game out. I'm not making excuses. Is Miami a playoff team in my mind? No, they are not. They should not even be in the top 20, but there really should only be about 6 teams in this stupid playoff anyway. But I don't know what Notre Dame's done to deserve their spot other than be Notre Dame. And it really is. Just come out and say that Notre Dame's in this because they're Notre Dame, and that's okay. Like, I get it. This is what you want to do. You want to maximize money. You want to maximize eyeballs. This is what you're looking for. I can't get around it. It's just, you talk about integrity, and we have all these sports betting scandals going on, and people are now, it's going to be easier than ever to point that, say, the fix is in. Well, the fix is in, and it's very obvious, but it has been for years. It's the same teams. Miami's not the brand that Notre Dame is. It's just, there's no other way to talk about it. It's true. If I was on that committee, would I want Notre Dame over Miami? Probably. But I would like to think that no matter what, I was going to try to put the best teams in, because there's not really many good teams anyway. All I know is Miami beat Notre Dame, and their resumes are pretty similar otherwise. And Notre Dame probably will kill Pitt this week, and they'll be in the playoff. And it's yeah. I didn't think they should have been in last year, and they made it to the championship game, so I guess anybody can get hot at any time, but enough's enough. You gotta make this team get into conference. It's just annoying, and it's tough because, obviously, I have a lot of friends who are Notre Dame fans, and I respect them all, and I don't want to be somebody who's like a hater on their team, but like join a conference. Just play by the same rules as everybody else. And it'll be, you won't take as much flack. But anyway, this college football playoff, I hated it last year, and I don't really like it the way it's shaping up at all this year. Ohio State would be the number one seed. Clearly they are. Indiana survives last week. They are the number two seed at this point. A&M number three. Alabama number four. Alabama would play the winner of Georgia, the number five, against South Florida, the number 12 at this point. Notre Dame and Oregon would match up in the 8-9 game for the right to play Ohio State. Miami and Texas Tech would play each other in the 6-11 matchup, Tech being the six. They would then play Texas A&M, and then the 7-10 matchup, Ole Miss and Texas against, they would advance to play Indiana. So that's how things are looking. Still a ton's going to change here. I was looking at some potential futures. Is there any team that I thought maybe could get into this thing, maybe have a shot? You know, I really couldn't make a case for anybody. Oklahoma's not good enough. Texas isn't good enough. Ole Miss, they're not good enough either. Their defense isn't as good. Texas Tech, 12-1. They could be all right. If the right matchups came their way, they might be all right. They lost the game when they had players out. I like to see them be a little better in the red zone. They seem to leave a lot of points on the table. Notre Dame's like the fourth choice, and I can't get over it. Texas A&M, I won't be buying into. Alabama, they lost to Florida State. Clearly to me, Ohio State and Indiana, the best two teams, but I don't know. It's just Ohio State, not all that impressively visually, but they just might be the best team. So nothing really to get involved with as far as a college football playoff at this point. All right, let's get into the games for this week, being week number 12. There wasn't a whole lot here that I liked this week. I said that last week, I feel like, too, but these games just, I don't know. They're not a whole lot there. Not a lot of meat on the bone. Let's go to Friday night. It's tonight, actually. Clemson and Louisville. Louisville -3. The total is 50 here. Louisville off a bad loss against Cal. Clemson off a nice win. I like Louisville here to bounce back. They're very good at home. I think Clemson, they got a nice win for themselves last week. We did have them. It's always tough to you know, have to take Clemson. You just you gag yourself and you take them. But we liked them last week. They got the job done. I think they come back and lay an egg here. So I'll take the Louisville Cardinals at home against Clemson on Friday night, that being tonight at 7:30. Minnesota and Oregon. Oregon comes at 8-1. Minnesota 6-3. We got that ticket with them. We need one more win. That's probably not going to be this one. They're catching 25. This thing opened 22. Now up to 25 and the total 44. You got USC up next for Oregon. Small lean to Minnesota plus the points here, but no real play in that one. South Carolina been a disappointment. They're 3-6. They visit 9-0 Texas A&M, and A&M -19.5. The total is 48 here. The Gamecocks 3-0 ATS the last three against A&M. I don't know if they can stay within this number. South Carolina's just not very good on offense. They just can't pack a punch to be able to compete in these games. I think they're ready for the season to end. I would play A&M or pass. Arizona at Cincinnati, 6-3. Wildcats at the 7-2. Bearcats -6.5. Totals 56. Cincinnati very good at home. I would not play anything but Cincinnati in this game. If you keep it under touchdowns, it's probably worth the play because I don't think Arizona's bad, but not on the road. 3-6 Wisconsin at 10-0 Indiana. Indiana gets the scare of the year last week, 29.5. They lay this week 44.5 is the total. They've won the last two against Wisconsin, and the Badgers ended a six-game skid against Indiana, against Washington last week. They play Indiana this week, obviously. They had lost six in a row until they beat Washington last week. So 29.5 is a number. That's a lot of points. But it would be Indiana or pass for me. I think they absolutely crush Wisconsin. Just be sure you get the best number there. South Florida and Navy, both 7-2. South Florida, 10.5. Total 64.5. Navy's lost two in a row since the competition has stiffened. This is a tough test here. I like the over here. I think Midshipman will score some points against South Florida. I don't think they have the defense that Notre Dame and North Texas had. So I think there will be some points in this game, but I think South Florida is probably the right side. Air Force at red hot UConn. UConn 7-3 on the season. They lay 7 at home here. 63.5 is the total. I don't know about the total, but I like UConn in this game. I'm almost tempted to play this game under. I feel like UConn's defense isn't bad, so it'll be Huskies and under, if anything, in that one. Notre Dame, 7-2 against 7-2 Pitt. Game day is going to be there. Narduzzi's already downplaying it. Notre Dame lays 11.5 on the road. The total is 55.5, and the Irish have won the last four against Pitt. Three of the last four in the series have went over. I like the over in this game. Pitt could potentially lay an egg here. It'd be Notre Dame or nothing here. I think Notre Dame is so much better than Pitt. They should go in there and just absolutely crush them, beat them by 3 or 4 touchdowns. But I do like the over 55.5. Eastern Michigan at Ball State. It'll be Eastern -2.5 on the road. The total 50.5. 7-3 ATS run for Eastern Michigan against Ball State. So small lean to the Eagles there, laying the points on the road, but they only got 3 wins. So that's, it's tough to lay 2.5 on the road with a 3-win team. Michigan at Northwestern. It'll be Michigan -11.5. The total is 41. Michigan 7-2 on the year. Northwestern's had a good year, 5-4, looking to get to a decent bowl game here. This game opened 9.5. It is now up to 11.5. Michigan has won the last 8 against Northwestern, so probably be Wolverines or pass here. Although I think this Michigan doesn't have the type of offense that will blow you out, so I would probably pass on that game. And you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Northwestern hung around a little bit. Kansas State at Oklahoma State. Terrible game here. It'll be Kansas State -20 on the road. The total is 52.5, down from the opener of 54. You got 4-5 K-State, who was projected to be one of the top teams in the Big 12. They are not. And 1-8 Oklahoma State, who is horrendous. Texas San Antonio at Charlotte. Charlotte 1-8 and San Antonio 4-5. They lay 18.5 on the road. Total 59.5. Probably be Roadrunners or pass. Everybody just loves to beat up on this bad Charlotte team. Arkansas at LSU. Arkansas 2 wins. LSU is 5-4. Four of the last 5 have been under in this series. 7 of the last 10 in this series. LSU's won 3 straight against Arkansas. I like the under 56 here. The trends say under. Arkansas has not been very good on offense or defense, but they've gotten a little bit better since they fired their coach. LSU is a train wreck, but I do think they keep it tight here. I think this is a low-scoring game, so we'll take the under. West Virginia, 4-6 at 6-3 Arizona State. Arizona State's going to be looking for a nice team to beat up on, take out some of their anger over the last few weeks. 11.5 they lay here. Be Arizona State or pass, total 48. You can hear that one right here, 1 o'clock on the Watchdog pregame beginning at 10. Oregon State and Tulsa, the Golden Hurricane, catching 2.5 at home, total 48. 48 even. Both teams with 2 wins. There no play on that one. North Texas at Alabama Birmingham. UAB catches 18.5 at home. 69.5 is the total here. 8-1 North Texas. So a pretty good job by them. UAB plays Memphis, I believe, next. So tough spot there for them. I like UAB, or North Texas, I'm sorry, has Memphis on deck. UAB is my play in this game. I think they'll catch North Texas kind of looking ahead a little bit. They are 6-1 ATS in the last 7 against North Texas. So we'll go with the Blazers of UAB in that one. Colorado State at New Mexico. New Mexico -14.5, 53.5 the total. Colorado State 9-1 ATS run against New Mexico, and 7 of 10 have stayed under in this series. So I would say either the Rams, who we took a shot with last week and didn't work, and maybe the under in that game of 53.5. UTEP, Missouri State, no play on that one. North Carolina State at Miami. Miami should handle this one pretty good. They lay 14.5, the total 55.5. NC State's just not a very good team. We'll see if Miami can keep their hopes alive with a win this week. App State and James Madison. James Madison now lays 21, up from the opener of 19. No play on that one, as the Mountaineers 4-5 and the Dukes 8-1. Clash there. Central Florida at Texas Tech. Texas Tech lays 23.5, total 48. So it'd be Tech or pass for me. They're really good. I think they're starting to feel like, okay, if we keep putting up some decent performances, we're going to have a shot of making this playoff, even if we don't win the Big 12. So I think they'll be very focused here. If you can get under 24, I would play the Red Raiders at home. Georgia Tech at BC. BC catching 16.5 at home. 1 win BC. 58.5 is the total. Georgia Tech, they got Pitt next. Maybe a little bit of a look ahead. They're 8-1. BC hangs around. I don't know. BC, I just feel like the number's never large enough to play BC. It's tricky, although against Notre Dame it was. San Jose, Nevada, nothing in that one. San Jose State lays 9 on the road. 52.5 is the total. Virginia at Duke, 5.5 the number. Duke lays at 57.5 is the total. The Cavs come in 8-2. We were against them last week, lost outright to Wake. I was considering playing Wake on the money line. I did not do it. Duke, they lost to UConn last week. Man, 8-2 run for the Cavs against Duke. I like Virginia to bounce back here a little bit more than I like Duke, but I would try to take the 5.5, but I don't love that play by any means. Texas State at Southern Miss. Southern Miss now down to 4.5 from the opener of 6.5. No play on that game. Oklahoma at Alabama. Oklahoma 7-2. Alabama 8-1. Opened Bama -7. Now down to 6. Total 46. Oklahoma 3-0 ATS against Bama in their three meetings. I like the under in this game. I think this is going to be a really contested game. I think this is a playoff-type game. Both these teams need this badly. Oklahoma's year for the playoffs is over if they lose this game. Alabama could probably still get in with a loss, but they're not going to want to chance that, especially with some difficult games on the horizon for the Tide. I like this game under 46. Two decent defenses and two offenses that are a little streaky. Maryland at Illinois. Saw a couple of tout services give out Illinois as their play of the year against Maryland, laying 14.5. I don't know if I agree with that. 53.5 is the total, so beware of that. 14.5 Illinois game of the year from a couple of tout services, so don't really trust that. I would probably play Maryland or pass. Iowa at USC. USC's got Oregon at Oregon next. They lay 6.5 here, 49.5 the total. I would expect USC to take care of business here, but with that look-ahead game against Oregon on the horizon, I can't play it. No go for me. 3-6 versus 3-6 is Penn State at Michigan State. Penn State lays 7 on the road to total 50. No play in this game. No idea what the motivations are from these two teams. I will stay away. Middle Tennessee State at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky lays 13.5. The total is 56. Western Kentucky 6-0 straight up, 4-0 ATS the last few outings against Middle Tennessee. Memphis at East Carolina. Memphis catching 2.5 against East Carolina, total 59.5. I lean Memphis in this game to bounce back after their disappointing loss. Last four in the series have went over the total. East Carolina, though, on a 7-3 ATS run against Memphis, so keep that in mind. Next game, it's New Mexico State at Tennessee. Tennessee lays 39.5. We even see some 40s out here. Total with a big move here. 53.5 the opener, now up to 61.5. No play in that one for me. North Carolina at Wake Forest. North Carolina starting to find their groove a little bit here. Perhaps they can be bowl eligible. Belichick starting to figure a few things out. They've won a couple straight. They played pretty well against Wake over the years, and I'm going to take a shot with the Tar Heels on the road, catching 6. Florida at Ole Miss. Ole Miss still 9-1. 13.5 was the opener, all the way up to 15.5. Florida has won 3 straight against Ole Miss, but I don't like them here. I think in Oxford, I think this turns ugly for Florida. I would play Ole Miss or nothing in that one. Utah at Baylor. Baylor catching 8.5 at home. The total 60.5. The last two between these two have stayed under by over 20 points. So some defensive struggles the last couple between these two teams. I like the under. I think that total's high, 60.5. I wouldn't consider either one of these teams to be high scoring. So I like the under 60.5, Baylor and Utah. Purdue at Washington. Washington off a loss to Wisconsin. They lay 16.5 at home. 53 is the total. I think Purdue, I feel like Purdue's on the cusp of playing a really big game. I don't know if this is it. Maybe, but it'd be Purdue or pass for me. UNLV now lays 6. They had originally laid 4 against Utah State. The total in this one, 71. You got to be kidding me. No play in that one. Virginia Tech at Florida State. We told you they're betting Virginia Tech right now. I don't really know why. 11 was the opener, now up to 14. So people, ticket count. So this is one of these games where you got to watch. The ticket count was on Virginia Tech. The money that was obviously going on Florida State is you have a 3-point move to Florida State. So that would say that's almost lining up to be an 8-10 star on Florida State in this game to smash Virginia Tech at home, the total 54.5. The Hokies, though, 5-1 ATS run against the Seminoles. Ohio State opened at minus 30 again this week. This time they're up to 32 against UCLA, total 48.5. No play here, be UCLA or pass for me at the Horseshoe. Texas at Georgia. Georgia lay 6, the total 48.5. 3-0 to the under in the series. And Georgia beat them both times last year, beat them by 15 and beat them by 3. I would lean Georgia here. I think they're a little bit better. I don't trust Texas. Part of me says that I still think this game could go over. It's Georgia's defense not as good as it once was. Mississippi State at Missouri. Missouri lays 7, total 51.5. Man, Mississippi State might have more to play for at this point than Missouri. Missouri's playoff hopes are done. They're kind of limping to the finish line. They got some injuries. 3-0 to the over in the series. So I like the over 51.5 here. I do think Mississippi State games tend to be overs. Kennesaw at Jacksonville State, no play there. The Owls lay 3 on the road with a total of 54. You got TCU at BYU. BYU opened 6.5, now down to 4.5, total 52.5. Little confidence lost on BYU after their performance against Texas Tech. They have been beaten 5 straight by TCU, too. So, but I like BYU in this game to bounce back. A lot of people will say that that's not a good spot for them. I believe they have a decently hard game next week, but I can't remember who it is. But BYU, I'll play at home minus 4.5. Wyoming at Fresno, 7 of the last 9 in this one have stayed under the total. The total is 40 in this game. I don't know if I could take under 40. This isn't a professional game. 3.5 the number Fresno lays. And then the final game, Boise State at San Diego State. San Diego State lays 3. The total is 41.5. Boise State has won 3 straight against the Aztecs. And San Diego State, though, on a 7-3 run against Boise. So if you can figure that one out, Boise's won the straight ups, but San Diego State seems to be the one covering the spread. So a lot to unpack with that one. A few other tidbits on the college football front here. For the Arizona State game against WVU, the Sun Devils on a 23-8-2 spread run. Boston College versus Georgia Tech. The dog in the Georgia Tech game so far over the last 39 games, 26-13. A tidbit from BYU and TCU. BYU 4-10 as a home favorite. That goes against my pick of BYU a little bit there. So keep that in mind. That might be one you want to cross off your list. Virginia and Duke. This one's really been a series that's favored the Cavaliers as they have won 8 out of 9 against Duke. We are on the Cavaliers there. Memphis, the Tigers. And their 10-2 ATS run will go into East Carolina. So that bodes well for us. Michigan State and Penn State, the visitor in this series, 10-1 ATS. So take a peek at that. That might mean Penn State. Navy, the midshipmen, they were 7 of 9 straight up. They have not covered, they did not cover any of those spreads, though. They had, let me rephrase this. Let me make it easier for you to understand. They had won 7 of their first 9 games. They lost their last 2, of course, but they didn't cover any of the 7 spreads. So of the 7 wins. So not good there as far as Navy. They're winning games, but they're not covering spreads. So be careful with that one. Oklahoma State and Kansas State. The Cowboys are on a 2-15 overall run since last September. They've been outscored 686 to 296 during that time, and they're 1-9 ATS at home. Notre Dame and Pitt, the visitor in the series, is just 7-2. I'm sorry, 9-7. 9-7. So, yeah, maybe the visitor is not a sure thing here, even though Notre Dame lays the points in that one. Iowa and Southern Cal, the Hawkeyes, are really just 2 points away from being 8-0 ATS on the season. So pretty good year for Iowa. They could be pesky out there. And then UNLV, Utah State, the Aggies, 4-11 ATS as a road underdog. So those are some college tidbits heading into week number 12 of the college football schedule. Time to shift it over to pro football here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 151. Coming to you from the Pioneering Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for high school football tonight on the Watchdog Network. Wheeling Park entertains Beckley Woodrow Wilson in the first round of the Quad A West Virginia State playoffs. That over at Wheeling Island Stadium. Coach Dell will be on the call as usual for that encounter. All right, let's go into the pro games here. Let's buzz through these as we get you ready for week number 11 in pro football. We got a game starting out. It's the international series at the Santiago Bernabeu. Yes, I'd rather be watching Real Madrid and Barcelona and El Clasico at the Bernabeu, but we'll have to settle for the Redskins and the Dolphins. This open pick, Dolphins now 2.5, total 47.5. Probably to me, this seems like of all the games that have been over here, this international series, this seems to me like the most likely game to go over the total. You got two pretty poor defenses and some teams that are just going to be desperate and they're going to just fire the ball around the park. So I wouldn't count the Commanders out. If I see 3, I'll be on the Commanders. But I like the over in this game at the Bernabeu, 47.5 on Sunday morning. Carolina at Atlanta. Carolina shut Atlanta out 30-0. They catch 3.5 in this one at Atlanta. 42.5 is the total. I can't lay the points with Atlanta here. Conventional wisdom says that the Falcons will win this game in a revenge spot, but Carolina was pretty bad last week in a disappointing spot. They laid an egg against the Saints, and if they're going to have a shot at the playoffs, which they're not completely out of, they have to win this game. So I'll take Carolina plus the 3.5 against Atlanta. If you get the 3.5, I absolutely own the Panthers. Tampa at the Bills. Bills laying 5.5, total 48.5. They opened 49.5, down to 48.5. Actually saw some 47s out there, 47.5s, and even a 47 flat. Buffalo, just 9-12 as a home favorite, ATS-wise. That's in the last 21. I don't like this number at all. Tampa, I know they're not getting healthy, but when they do, they're going to be tough. If they continue to get a guy back each week, I like them here. I think they're dangerous. 5.5, Buffalo, they're a one-man team. We've said that a lot. They got upset last week. They got outplayed the whole game by Miami. Tampa's a much better team than Miami. I'll take the Buccaneers plus 5.5 against just about anybody in the NFL. Obviously, they're a little beat up, but I think the Bucs get refocused and have a good performance. Minnesota -3, total 48.5 against the Bears. A lot to unpack in this one. Minnesota on a 7-3 ATS run against the Bears. They've won 8 out of 9 overall in the series. This is an interesting tidbit for the over. Same game, or same division dome games, meaning an indoor game with two division opponents, with a total of 48 points or more, 11-1 to the over in the last two seasons. So 48.5 is the number. That's over 48. These interdivision games inside, 11-1 to the over. So we're on the over there, 48.5. And I do like the Vikings to bounce back and take care of the Bears, who've we were high on the Bears. We have their win total over, and we thought they were going to be a contender, and we told you we didn't believe in the Packers, and a lot of that's coming true. Minnesota, not as good as everybody had advertised, but I do like the Vikings in this spot. I think the Bears had a few cheat death performances in a row. I don't see that happening here. I like Minnesota to win by a field goal or more. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh looking for some revenge. Both these teams' pass defenses are horrendous. The total's 49.5. The Steelers lay 5.5. I'm going to lay it with the Steelers here. I think they figure out a way to get to Flacco, and I think that they take revenge on the Bengals for the 33-31 loss on Thursday night a few weeks back. Both these teams are really bad on defense, though, so over 49 is a must play here. The Chargers at the Jaguars. Jags catching 3 at home, the total 43.5. Thought that Charger line would be overwhelmed. Steelers could not do anything against them. I was stunned by that, but I wasn't stunned that it was a low-scoring game, because I felt Harbaugh's defense would play well against Aaron Rodgers, and they did. But can they go on the road and beat Jacksonville? Man, you would surely think so. But I don't really have a feel on this game at all, so I'm going to pass. Green Bay at the Giants. I don't get it. How is Green Bay laying 7 on the road here? I have no idea at all. 45.5. It opened at. It's 43.5 now. Giants already said Jameis Winston will play, not Russell Wilson. So that gives them a fighting chance. I'm absolutely taking 7 with the Giants if Jameis Winston plays. I just don't get how Green Bay is favored by this many. The power ratings on this team have been wrong all season long, and it will show again here. If they win the game, they should win the game, but they probably will struggle to win by a field goal. So Giants all the way, especially if Jameis plays. Obviously, if Dart plays, the Giants might win the game outright. Houston at Tennessee, division game here. Houston lays 7 on the road in a division game. 38.5 is the total. It's Houston on a 8-2 ATS run against Tennessee. Yeah, it's been a rough go for the Tennessee Titans. They have not had a really good performance in a long time. They got beat 26-0 by Tennessee earlier this year. Total's 38.5, actually up to 39.5 last check. 37.5 is what it opened at. I got to lean towards the Titans here, but I don't love it. I'll probably pass on that game. Seattle at the Rams. Rams -2.5. Total 48.5. Rams playing great football. They are on an 8-2 ATS run overall. 7 out of 10 of these games have stayed under the total between these two. 4 of the last 5 also under. Seattle 4-0 ATS on the road this year. So something's got to give. I like the Rams. I think they're just a little bit better. We were against Seattle last week. Maybe this is the week that we should have been against them. So we'll go with the Rams in that one, and a lean to the under 48.5 in that one. Although Stafford playing MVP quality football right now, throwing 4 touchdowns a game. It's tough to play an under in those scenarios. San Francisco at Arizona. San Fran lays 2.5 on the road. I would lean San Fran in here. Both these teams had bad performances last week. San Francisco, I'd expect to bounce back a little bit easier than Arizona. I like the over 48.5 here quite a bit. Both these teams' defenses are beat up. 5 of the last 6 between these two have went over the total. And I think this just means that this is going to be a higher scoring game. They played a 16-15 game last go around earlier in the season. I think both defenses beat up a little bit. Arizona with some little bit more rapport on offense with Brissett in there. I think that could lead to some points. So go over 48.5 now. And Baltimore at Cleveland. Baltimore -8. The total now down to 39.5 from the opener of 40. 41.5, that is. I like the over here. I think there'll be some points. I think Baltimore will come in here and score. They're laying 8. I expect them to take care of business pretty easily against a lowly Cleveland team. Kansas City at Denver. This is a game that intrigues me, and it's bothersome because a lot of people are betting the Chiefs already. Chiefs lay 3.5, total 44. Andy Reid, 22-4 off the bye. 6 of the last 10 under in the series. This game opened 2 up to 3.5. Total from 45 down to 43.5. 7-3 ATS run for Denver against KC. So some concerning stuff there. If the public's betting Kansas City, it's going to have to be a hold off for me. But if you are a money line parlay player and you think like, okay, I really like, the team that you could really like this week that would be a good money line bet. I don't know, say the Ravens. You play the Ravens and then you play Kansas City together, and that gets you down to, you know, minus $1 range. So, so maybe that's your play on something like that. Detroit at Philly. Philly open -1 now up to 2.5, total 46.5. Detroit 6-3 ATS run against Philly. 9-0 to the over in this series. I like the over, and I like the Lions in this game. I think there will be points, and I think the Lions, they're a team that could go into Philly and win this game. Dallas at Vegas, Monday Night Football. Vegas averaging 12.4 points per game on offense over the last 5. They catch 3.5 at home to Dallas. Dallas and other teams, you just don't know what you're going to get out of them. Total's 50. You're coming off a bye. I have no thoughts on this game at all. I was actually considering an under, if you can believe it, but with Brock Bowers back, and although he didn't do anything last week, I think I'm probably going to lean towards a pass on that game. We'll see. Maybe I'll figure something out by the weekend and put that up at BLS_PRP. Couple other NFL tidbits going on here. Miami and Washington game. Miami's 3-0 versus Washington and 8-1 as a favorite off of a straight-up dog win. Washington 12-4 versus non-divisional opponents in November. So both of those trends go against each other. Tampa 9-1 in non-division road games where they're a 3-point or more dog. Todd Bowles 9-1 in road games off of a straight up loss. So that supports our Bucks theory there. Tennessee and Houston. Tennessee 6-0 off of Jacksonville, but just 6-12 in November and 2-12 in the division off of an ATS win. The Titans 7-1-1 with the coming off of a bye week. So I don't know. That's tough to trust. Chicago and Minnesota, the Bears 7-2 off a straight up non-division home win. So that goes against our Minnesota play there a little bit. Green Bay and the Giants. Green Bay 1-10 as road favorites of greater than 3 points. I rest my case. The data tells you everything you need to know. These numbers continue to be high, probably because people keep betting Green Bay because they're stupid. So don't be stupid. Don't bet Green Bay, at least not this week. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Cincy 10-2-1 off of a back-to-back straight-up ATS loss. That would apply here. Chargers. Chargers have won 3 straight, allowing 221 yards or less in each of their wins. So great performances by the Charger defense. We'll see if that keeps rolling. Rams and Seahawks. Seahawks 10-1 as dogs. First of the back-to-back road games, but the Rams are 8-1 versus Seattle. They're on an 8-1 run against Seattle, so that's tricky. I like the Rams in that one. Arizona and San Fran. San Fran 6-0 off of a division or double-digit straight-up home loss. So that bodes well for them to bounce back. Cardinals 6-1, though, off of playing Seattle. Ravens 6-0 as a division favorite of greater than 8 points. They're 8 or more here. Kansas City, they are 12-2 as a road dog. They're not a road dog, though. That's a wrong stat. They're a road favorite. Yeah, that's – don't worry. Disregard that one. I don't know why I starred that because they're not a road dog. All right, and then our final game, Detroit and Philadelphia. The Lions 4-1 against the Eagles, 13-2 against the in the NFC road games for Dan Campbell, 11-2 as a dog, 22-5 in road games. So good stuff there for the Lions. Las Vegas 5-0 versus opponents with rest and 6-1 off of the Broncos. Dallas, though, 5-0 off Monday Night Football. So those are some trends there for you in the NFL week number 11. That's going to do it for us here on Bettors Last Stand show number 151, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. Thanks for tuning in. BLS_PRP. You can find all the games. Follow us at the Pine Room Studios. Check us out anywhere you get your podcasts. We'll be happy to have some listener interaction and feedback. As always, thanks to our listening audience who checks in with me each and every week. Thank you for your time. and your commitment to listening to the Watchdog Network and Bettors Last Stand. That's going to do it for us. Have a safe and wonderful weekend, and best of luck on your wagers. High school football coming up next. Got the pregame show. Then we got Wheeling Park and Woodrow Wilson. And then tomorrow afternoon, it's Wheeling Central on a stream only against Tulsa. And you have Mountaineer football here tomorrow at 1 o'clock, pregame at 10. And then, of course, it is the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens, 1 o'clock on Sunday. That's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend, as I mentioned. Best of luck in your wagers. Stay safe out there. Enjoy the high school football next. And thanks for listening to Bettors Last Stand on the Watchdog Network.